Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. As always, on Fridays, I'm joined by my buddy, Rich Rebar. We pick our five favorite games against the spread. Coming off of, I guess, like a semi-entertaining Thursday night game, lots of points scored between the Jets and the Colts. Ty Johnson got there for our FFPC main event team. Michael Carter, people are probably bumming a little bit on Michael Carter this morning. They thought they had, you know, new James White. He did not get there. A lot of my 10th place best ball teams feeling really good about those Elijah Moore points, though.
It was just nice to see Elijah Moore do something, right? Like, it was just nice. You feel good. It's a warm feeling. You may not have got any of those fantasy points anywhere outside of best ball leagues based on how the first 8 weeks went, but it was nice to see him involved and actually getting targets. So yeah. We'll take that. The Michael Carter thing was weird. I was on a podcast yesterday and we were talking about like his projected touches, and I'm like, listen, I'm excited for Michael Carter's opportunity and he's getting the rookie bump, but like, this dude's not going to have a 30% target share forever. And, you know, granted Mike White got hurt and it had an impact, but like, you just can't count a running back to have 30% team target share every week. And that was going to dry up, and it finally did. And he's still a guy that has like that Chase Edmonds like floor when you have a touch count fall where it did last week.
What a bummer for Jets fans with Zach Wilson. I mean,
oh boy,
you know, Josh Johnson looking better than you. I did a show with Kevin Cole yesterday, and we were like, you know, it's hard to bury him. Like, it's just hard to know, because he was like, it was almost like he was playing a different sport than what Mike White and Josh Johnson are doing, which is just trying to do all the safe, easy stuff. But like, I don't know, you'd like Zach Wilson to kind of be able to adjust to the in-game dynamic. And he didn't, other than the Titans game, he didn't really, like, he just felt like he was always trying to force the issue.
Yeah, we've seen that with a couple of the guys so far this season. You know, Fields too. Fields just had like the one game where it actually looked like he was just playing last week. It was like the first time all year, but yeah, it's tough.
No nagging.
Why did the Jets trade for Flacco? Like, just to hang out? Like, he just hangs out.
That's like weird. You would have thought that Flacco would have came in and melt. They're like, oh, Josh Johnson, it's your time, bro. So, yeah, very bizarre stuff there.
Well, he doesn't even dress. Like, he just hangs out, like, and talks to people on the sidelines. So I guess he's just there to be, like, a mentor, like, just to hang out. Like,
yeah, he's learning how to become a coach, I guess.
I guess good for Flacco. But weird to trade away at least the marginal asset to acquire him to just wear, like, a hoodie and a Jets hat on the sideline. I mean,
that's Jets. That's Jets football, baby.
Robert Salah's face last night was amazing. Like, there was at one time they cut to him on the sideline where it looked like he enjoyed life. Like, it was just like misery.
I mean, just imagine going from the situation he was in to the situation he's in now. Like, you know, beautiful, sunny California. Like, no one ever gets mad when the team loses. Like, no one ever blames the 49ers when they lose, because everyone loves Shanahan. He got all the plaudits when they made the Super Bowl. And now it's just like, he just has to show up to work every day and New Jersey, it's 27 degrees. He hates his quarterback. Like, it cannot be a good work environment, you know, for Robert Saleh right now.
Dude, every time they cut to him, I was just like, oh my gosh, look at the torture on this man's face right now.
Yeah. All right, man, let's do it. Your number five is what?
I just want to trigger you right away. I'm going to take the Vikings plus six.
Yep. Triggered. And now I could not take the Ravens. The Ravens are not on my list, but I mean, you know, like, one, I'll never pick against Mahomes and I'll never pick against Lamar. It's just like, really goes against my ethos.
I know. Just too many points, man, right here. I mean, the Vikings, and we see the Vikings do this all the time. Like, people like get down on them and then the market.
And then they play their Zimmer boring vanilla game plan and they score 28 points because they have good players and they get it.
They have four losses this year. They're by three, 1, 7, and 4 points. This is a matchup too, where we talk about, it's very similar to the corollaries twice over. One, when I picked the Bengals at plus seven against the Ravens a couple weeks ago. And this is a very similar matchup and style of defensive play. The Ravens, that when the Vikings played the Carolina Panthers a couple weeks ago, blitz heavy team, it's going to play a lot of man coverage. And it's going to allow for a lot of big splash plays. I mean, you look at both of the Minnesota wide receiver splits versus, you know, man and zone, and they're very jarring night and day. I mean, Justin Jefferson is averaging 2 more yards per route run against man coverage versus zone. The Ravens are going to try to be blitz happy, and you do want to put pressure on Kirk Cousins. It's just, you got to get there, because Cousins has been terrible under pressure so far against the season. But if you don't get home, you know, that allows the big plays. And on the other side, you know, Lamar, has been really awful under pressure this season. They do get Nick Boyle back, but he's more of a help in the run game. And the Vikings are the number one in the NFL in pressure rate without blitzing. I mean, they're just 16th in the NFL in blitz rate. And Lamar, so far under pressure, is just 48.4% of his passes, 7 yards per pass attempt. And when he's kept clean, 9.3 yards per pass attempt, 72% completion rate. So Danielle Hunter's out, so that does help Lamar a little bit here in the fact that not getting home at four. But again, just 6 points too much. I'd pick the Ravens to win outright. You know, I wouldn't in a survivor pool. I'd check off and repick every game. I'd pick the Ravens, but 6 points too many for me.
Yeah, like I can't you know, say that any of that's, I can't say any of it's wrong, but I mean, you know,
maybe. It is wrong. You can say it's none of it's wrong with it being completely wrong.
No, I mean, like that's the thing about picking games is like the analysis can be correct. And then just like, I don't know, it's like some guys I just won't bet against. And Lamar is one of those guys, you know? All right. My number five, this line seemed, it just seemed, it's too many points. The Bears +6 at the Steelers. Now, I guess Nagy's back in the building this week. So maybe that's not particularly
great. How many points
great.
Is he worth?
Yeah, he's like -4 probably. But we were basically just waiting for Fields to do one of those games, right? We were waiting to be like, this is what we thought we were going to be getting with Fields, which is he creates extra plays. He breaks the pocket, right? And is making plays, throwing the ball when he breaks the pocket, which we saw basically none of, right? Before that 49ers game, I don't remember a play where he broke the pocket and did anything like, you know, that touchdown to Jesse James. They've also been really effective running the ball. You know, Khalil Herbert has been, I mean, in like a year without all these quarterbacks and without Jamar Chase, there would have been a certain segment of NFL Twitter saying, oh, you can't forget about Khalil Herbert, rookie of the year. But basically it's like, I think this is probably just like a 21-17 game. I do think the Steelers would win. Same as the, your Vikings pick. I think the Steelers will probably win, but it feels like the Steelers just have trouble scoring points against anybody. Like they just, their offense just sucks.
And this game could be easily 13-10 or something. Yes. Like, really, I mean, the total is 38, which in the year of 2021 football is, might as well be like, transitive property of being like a 24 point game total a decade ago.
I know it's bizarre.
I had the 49ers last week and I bet them, and the Bears scared me for a good section of that game until the second half. And then
Jimmy G bootleg touchdowns. I mean, who knew?
Yeah. But it was the first game. It was the first game where Fields just, it looked like he was just playing. Like he played reactionary and loose instead of just the, you know, trying to process everything. You've seen the plays that they made. It wasn't, he made like three really ridiculous plays, the two touchdowns. And then he had another play where Nick Bosa basically was unblocked up the middle. He juked him on and then just like got away and scrambled for a first down. The only thing that still irks me about that performance the last week is that he still only had two designed runs. It was all breaking pocket and scrambles. He had eight scrambles for 89 yards. He still now is just 21 designed rushing yards since being the starting quarterback. Like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Like literally, what are we doing? Like, what is the plan?
What are we doing?
Why did you draft Fields if your plan was to have him, you know, like it makes no intuitive sense to have Justin Fields try to play like a stationary pocket quarterback, because that's not even what he did at Ohio State, really.
It just drives me crazy. But I mean, this one's not on my thing. I have no problem with it though. I'm going to work through this game. This will be out of the background. I won't be glued to this one on Monday night.
No. All right. What's your number four?
My number four is the Patriots. And yeah, I have
this one too.
I wish it was a flat three, you know, but that's why I just moved down a little bit, but we're probably not going to get Sam Darnold. So we might get PJ Walker. And I don't think it really matters that much. It looks like Christian McCaffrey still won't be back. The Panthers are now dead last in the NFL on catchable target rate from quarterbacks. And because PJ Walker, when he's been in relief, and it's a very small sample, he's been awful since he's come in. He came in that Giants game to try to clean up and completed 3 of 15 passes. Last week, they didn't even let him throw when he came in. They were just like, nah, man, just turtle on this lead. Like, we're just going to try to get out of here, burn this clock off. And then Darnold's just been terrible since like the first 3 weeks of season two. So against the Bill Belichick defense, and the Patriots are kind of just slowly finding their way, right? Like, they're probably not a Super Bowl contender, but like, they're like one of those teams that like every week can like hang. Like, you know, they took the Cowboys to overtime. They should have won in week one without they had the fumble. And then they played another team really good. It's alluded. Oh, they Bucks. They almost, you know, they were hanging with the Bucks on Sunday night. So, yeah, I like this one. You know, obviously they're on the road, but, that's really my analysis, is that I'm not really long on the Panthers on any level, and the Patriots is better.
Yeah. Like it, especially because, I mean, look, we all love, we remember Houston Roughnecks, PJ Walker and everything. And like, we feel some positive value for him, but the game he started last year, I cannot remember.
It was against the Lions.
Yeah. And he was not good. Right. He was he got a little bit of buzz in fantasy that week. He didn't run, you know, 24 or 34, one touchdown, two interceptions. Like, he just really, like, you know, It PJ Walker is not a meaningful upgrade on Sam Darnold is sort of the theory there. And the Patriots will run the ball well. They'll play good defense. I do wish it was a flat three, but this was, that was my number three. I mean, I feel like it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Another week too, where it's not a lot like of depth plays where we're trying to like, oh, I had eight picks and I had to whittle it down to five. It was another one where it's just like, there's a lot of big lines again this week, and I'll pick one sooner, but it's not like a lot to love out there.
Yeah. So my number four is the Los Angeles Rams. You can get it at 7, but at the consensus line is 7.5. There are a couple places that have it at 7. I think 7.5 is fine. I mean, the Rams are just, you know, they're the death machine. They can run the ball. Their defense is amazing. Cooper Kupp just gets 30 fantasy points every single game. Stafford is playing, you know, pretty much the best results of his career. You could argue, you know, he always had this ability in him or whatever. And I think the Titans are just going to, for at least one game, I do feel like they probably will stubbornly just try to run Adrian Peterson and Donta Foreman like they're Derrick Henry. And I do not anticipate that game plan, you know, going all that well.
Yeah, this one was a tweener for me just because Tennessee, like in the back of my mind, what they've done to some of these good teams and hung around just like scared me. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to stop the Rams at all. I mean, you look at the Rams, you know, they've just been smoking these bad defenses. You know, the Texans last week, the Lions the week before, the Giants the week before that, like these subpar like defenses just had no shot to stop them, because the good defenses haven't even had a chance to really stop them. Arizona was the only one that kind of got in their way. And that was it. That's like the one blip on the radar. They're going to smoke the Titans defense. Like, it's not even a fact. The Titans, they were good a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs, and then they were right back to normal against the Colts. It was just that, you know, Carson Wentz went full Carson Wentz at the, you know, in that game, but yep. A lot of yards and big plays were right back to being posted against them. And that's what I expect the Rams to do on Sunday night. And then I'm real curious just to see, you know, how the Titans adjust. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it could end up just being an outlier anyways, because the rest of their schedule is so easy that it might not even stand out. Like, because this is a game where they're probably going to be a negative game script. It would probably be more Jeremy McNichols, more passing. We probably won't see them. Like, this is going to be a game, right? Like, so they're going to be probably like chasing double-digit points, and they're going to like abandon using play action. People will be like, look, with Derrick Henry off the field, they don't use play action, but it'll probably be more game script induced like it was early in the season when they were playing from behind a lot. But then they come back after this game against the Rams, you know, that you play the Saints, you play the Texans, you play the Patriots, play the Jaguars, the Steelers. Like, none of those teams are going to run away from you. Even the good versions of those teams, like the Saints are a good team, the Patriots are a good team, but like, they're not going to score like 35 and make you chase points. They're going to be in like rushing game scripts. So then you can give 16 carries to Adrian Peterson if you want, you know, in those games. So I'm real curious just to see how it plays out and the reaction as it'll be on Sunday night. Cause I imagine there will be takes had on Sunday night.
Of course. There are always takes. There are always takes. You can always feel good about the take. So that was,
I feel good about no Cooper Kupp on the main slate. Thank God.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing when I was working on projections this week. I was like, thank God we don't have to make,
we're gonna jam him in. Cause you gotta jam him in. You just have to.
Yeah, he just gets so many.
Dude, he got 7 for 115 and a touchdown last week, and got tackled inside the five twice. Like he could have just mashed again.
Yeah, yeah. He got tackled at the one, right?
Yeah, so inside the five twice.
Yeah, yeah. Not great. all right. So that was my number four, and then my number three was the Patriots. So what is your number three?
My three is the 49ers, and you could have got it, you know, early on. It was, you're getting the 49ers plus points. So if you bet this early,
I have the Cardinals because I think Kyler's playing.
I think Kyler's playing, but what we've seen from Kyler, so I don't know if I feel comfortable with Kyler playing hurt, especially with an ankle injury, because he already wasn't running. And these two teams are weird because the 49ers always play the Cardinals good. So, like, if you look at their – even this year when the Cardinals were on, like, a death march early in the season, they had just come off of smoking the Rams. And the 49ers basically were, like, ahead in that game with Trey Lance and hanging on. And, you know, they covered in that game. And the Cardinals got 4 fourth-down stops in that game. The 49ers were 0-for-4 on fourth down. Now you're getting Kyler hurt. DeAndre Hopkins looks like he's just going to play hurt the rest of the season or until – They need to probably just give him a couple weeks, but they won't because, you know, Hopkins is going to try. He even got himself back into the game last year.
Back in the game. Yeah.
It's like, dude, chill out. Like we kind of need you. Like, we're undefeated right now. Like get this thing right. But yeah, I think it's just the Cardinals are so banged up. The 49ers are kind of getting healthier. I know Debo's dealing with the calf. They're getting Kittle back, which also has a huge impact on the explosive run game. And I think that's a big factor here as well, because the Cardinals are allowing the most explosive runs at the highest rate. They've just been getting ahead on teams in terms of game script. And Elijah Mitchell is number one in the NFL in explosive run rate. So getting Kittle back, it could be a game where I think we see some more, you know, because they did Trey Lance the first game. It'll be more of a traditional game plan here. But yeah, I'm with kind of the public. You've been actually good on these ones because you still had the Cowboys without Dak last week, and they outright won. So.
Well, yeah, but I thought Dak was going to play. I just locked it in because I thought it was fine anyway. I thought the line was fine anyway. I mean, Dak is probably, you know, Mahomes, Lamar, Dak, Aaron Rodgers, probably the quarterbacks that are worth the most, but you know, that Cooper Rush did his job. And like, we also, you know, we know that relationship between wide receiver skill and quarterback production. Like, no one steps into an easier spot than Dallas's backup quarterback, which is crazy considering how bad Andy Dalton was last year.
Well, I mean, the tackles were out last year too.
True.
Yeah. Zeke played hurt for a whole season, and the defense was awful.
Yeah.
You know, the defense isn't as awful now.
So the reason why I had Arizona is, one, I expect Kyler to play, and two, you know, we all love Kyler, right? But his like EPA and his completion percentage over expectation stuff, the first 2 years of his career, like just as a passer, mm-hmm. he actually was like average or below average, you know, and then made up with a ton of it with his legs. And his legs are still really important to his passing, because a lot of his high EPA plays do come on those scrambles where, you know, it's 3rd and 11 and he dodges a defensive end and comes back across the formation and dodges another guy and, you know, throws a strike or whatever. But he is finally, you know, one of the league's best passers in terms of like the results with the analytics. And so I'm not worried about him. I am not worried about him not being able to create rushing production. You would be a little bit worried about, you know, being in the pocket and being able to evade that pressure. Cause you know, again, the elephant in the room with Kyler is that he can't really throw over the middle of the field because he can't see over his linemen. You know, every Cardinals lineman is over 6'4", which is really funny, you know, considering the construct of their team. But also, if the 49ers get behind 10 points, it's over. There's no storming back with the way the offense is currently constructed. So I don't want to bet on them as the favorite. And I don't know. This could be a really wrong pick of me. Like, I could just feel like a moron with
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could go either way. I mean, even if Kyler plays, are you worried of his injury that he could just be hurt again in game?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, if it's one of those where if he takes a sack early on in the game and you see him get up gingerly, you're going to be like, ah, shit. It's going to be Colt McCoy season.
Yeah. I don't understand the Hopkins thing. Like, they've got to shut him down. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they got to shut him down for sure.
He's already a guy that doesn't win like with separation. So like you kind of don't want him to be playing even half speed.
No, you need him you need him moving after the catch and stuff is the deal there. My number two was the Cardinals, because right now you can get them as a dog too. Like right now the consensus line for the Cardinals is +2. And if Sunday, Sunday afternoon, Kyler's starting, I bet we see some line movement the other way once it's confirmed that Kyler is playing.
Yeah, it's been all over the board. And like I said, if you got locked in some super contest, you're getting a real good line if you like the 49ers side.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So do you have the Bills as number one? Was that your preview?
I have them at two.
Okay.
Do you have the Bills?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was the one. I mean, it's just they're, you talking like the offensive death machine. They're the AFC version. We love the Bills, our Bills, as we hashtag call them, because they love to throw and throw more and keep throwing. I was worried halfway through that game that, Josh Allen wasn't going to get there for fantasy, and probably a lot of people were happy. And then he scored like basically 25 points in the second half of that game, and, still rushing for touchdowns that don't matter at the end of the game. But if you just look at every metric, points per game, points allowed per game, plays per game, plays allowed per game, it's like basically the Bills are first and second in like almost every category, offense and defense. And that's the big thing with me. The Bills this year is their defense is playing awesome. And their schedule has been really good.
So good, yeah.
No lie. But they, that we've seen them in the Chiefs thing doesn't even hold as much water as it did, shutting them down because of how the Chiefs played since. But I'm not worried about their defense against the Jaguars on any level. I mean, the Jaguars were one of the most disappointing teams of the week last week because they had a bye. They come out of a bye and just get curb stomped. By Geno Smith. I mean, Lawrence looked awful last week. He was against the Seahawks. Yeah. So like, against the Bills. And the Bills, the thing I like about the Bills too, when you bet on them, is like they get out to leads early. Like they've outscored opponents 44-3 in the first quarter this season. Like they're aggressive. So when this amount of points with another team I might feel great about it, but a team that I feel like is this aggressive and against the quarterback that has been this kind of up and down like Lawrence has, and James Robinson might not play in this game, which is crazy because a running back shouldn't impact anything, but he's been like one of their best players on offense all season. But yeah, really it's just the death machine of the Bills going to score a lot of points, and the defense has been so good. I don't think Lawrence will score enough.
Yeah. I just haven't like the big spreads have not been kind to me historically, absolutely. But
many people,
we really are moving into like a kind of a different era of the NFL with have and have nots, because pass offenses that are super efficient, the rules are just so favorable to them. And the teams that really do they really press the envelope, if they're up 14 points, still slinging the ball. Like we see something to what we saw last night. The Colts did it running the ball, but we just see these games where it gets totally out of control, 'cause then the other team has to pass. And if you have a good pass defense and you're creating sacks and turnovers, and it's like much easier to cover a 14.5 point spread in 2021 than it would have been in 2000. Like teams were never covering those spreads in 2000 because of the way teams just, that's just how they played back then.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars are out here throwing 26 passes to Jamal Agnew the last 3 weeks. I mean, what are we doing? Like, what is actually going on here? Like, the whole offense is predicated on like 5-yard passes to Jamal Agnew and Dan Arnold.
Right, which is... the Dan Arnold thing was really tilting because I swapped off him on some teams, and so just watching him rack up the garbage time, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, why is this happening?
Jamal Agnew had 12 targets last week and 38 yards.
Yeah, rest in peace, Laviska Shenault. Brutal.
They totally boned you, Visca guys, this because they moved him outside.
They moved him outside, which was never where we expected him to do well. It's not particularly great. My number one. Chargers 1.5 points at the Eagles.
All right. Yeah.
Look, I love Jalen Hurts. Everyone knows the thing, but the Eagles are going to smoke bad teams and they are going to get smoked by good teams. It is just the way of the world. And I just, this line, I don't
get it either.
Like, what are like, I mean, it feels like the reverse of that Ravens Chargers line, where I was like, I don't understand why the Chargers were getting that much respect relative to the Ravens. And it's the same thing here. I mean, maybe we got a little bit of West Coast traveling East. Herbert was limited in practice with like some kind of injury. So, but I mean, this should be your Chargers by 3.5. If I was setting the line.
And I don't get it, because we both had the Eagles last week, because we thought, why are the Lions getting so much credit? Why are we discrediting the Eagles so much against the right. Lions? And then we come back the next week. So they boat race the Lions, like we probably thought was going to happen. And then you come back and now we're overcounting them destroying the Lions. Like, what are we doing?
Like what are we doing? Yeah.
And the same thing with the Chargers. They played cold, you know, that you get beat by the Patriots and Ravens, you know, no real shame there. And they didn't really look particularly good in either game. And Herbert's been in a little slump here, but you know, the Eagles pass defense is predicated on just allowing a super high completion rate. They play to sit back in zone. They don't blitz at all. So yeah, I mean, this one on a lot of levels doesn't make sense to me. I think it's a terrible matchup too for the Eagles passing game. And then the Chargers also came out of the bye. And the one thing they did well last week was they actually did play the run. Their run fits were a little better. They played the run well. Game script still added up on them for the Patriots to run for yards, but they held the Patriots under 4 yards per carry. So look, maybe they fixed a little bit of something there, not fixed it, but band-aided it up a little bit to short it up. So I don't think, because a lot of people I think are just expecting what the Eagles did from the ground perspective last week, just come and do that again to the Chargers because of the season long stats, but game script and if the Chargers defense did turn this thing
like
around.
Jordan Howard is not going 12 for 60 in this game. I feel pretty confident about that.
Yeah. Same. So, I mean, yeah, listen, I'm with you on this one all the way. Lockstep. It was easy, but it's the first thing I've been looking at all week, is that line. And I believe it's actually been bet into the Eagles favor. It opened at -3 and it's 1.5.
I mean, so apparently there are people who like Jalen Hurts more than me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you though.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like it, and I guess the Chargers are kind of like a Fugazi team anyway, where like they've been beaten in some spots where people were on them, you know, against the Ravens, against the Patriots.
Like the Colts last year. Remember, we just did this with the Colts last year. Like when the Colts have to like punch up, they really can't. Although, you know, like I said, the Chargers did, you know, they beat the Chiefs. So, but yeah, you know, they eke one out against the Browns. They get smoked by the Ravens. They lose to the Patriots. But I expect them to be a get-right game. I don't know if it's a get-right, like everyone's going to go over fantasy-type game because the Eagles play such boring defense. They don't let you do anything cool.
Right.
But I do think from a team perspective, I would expect the Chargers to win this one pretty handily.
Yeah. All right. What about DFS this week? What's the Reeves angle?
I'm looking at a few things here. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. I've enjoyed this DFS season a lot. Not just from a winning perspective, but from a way the meta's been this year, or the how to play. I think it's been
six K running backs and expensive wide receivers. And then you pick your, you know, you pick your 5K wide receiver, and if you get Pittman versus T wrong, you lose.
Yeah, and I think it's the way just of we haven't had the jam in moments, and maybe we will over the back half of the season, but the way the injuries have been at the top of the running backs and the mid-level running backs have been so hypervariant that we've kind of just had a lot of flat ownership each week. You know, we haven't really had these weeks where we're like running into just like supreme, like multiple chalky pieces, right? Like there might be one or two that come out through the week through injuries. But like we're not really running into where we're seeing a lot of like overlap in lineups. I think that's cool. It makes DFS fun. And there's a lot of angles to play things. This week, we talked about the Minnesota Ravens game. I think that game has sneaky potential to be fun. It could be bad or good, right? Like that game is going to be like, it's either going to get there or it's going to be real and it's going to be bad for everybody. But I like Cleveland, Cincinnati, I think is sneaky. Both those games played like real high shootout games last year, and then we have like this the Odell thing like being gone and like just the pressure. I mean, say what you want, like whose fault it is or not, but there's no way that like Baker's not gonna feel like alleviation this week, like just not having to worry about it, right?
Not having to think like, oh damn, Odell was open and I didn't pull the trigger, I'm gonna have to deal with his dad on fucking YouTube or whatever.
So I like that game as like a sneaky potential game stack game. And then I think Dallas Denver is interesting. A lot more interesting than people might get there on. Because the Broncos are one of these teams, they've had a really easy schedule too so far. But you look at, they've only given up 24 more points twice this season. But in those games, Teddy Bridgewater's thrown 38 and 49 passes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Cowboys team total is 29 here. I imagine they're going to do what they do. So I do kind of like some of the bring back pieces here. I think Albert O will be get steam if fans out.
He's going to be Dan Arnold from last week.
But also, I mean, Sutton's been kind of flat the last couple weeks. I think this is a game where Sutton could have like a spike week. So you could run like a Zeke Sutton mini if you want to get off of Albert O, maybe even Judy or
Judy. He just came back into the same role he left. They just didn't really have to throw against Washington. So I think Judy seems real sneaky.
That was the mistake I made with some of my Sutton pivots. I'm late swapping him to try to like pivot off of Godwin, was that just like, I didn't account enough for just like the Broncos being like playing Washington being like, well, we're up seven. So
Melvin Gordon and Javonte.
Right. I didn't account for that enough. I'm just looking at the matchup a little bit too much of like, oh, well, Sutton's going to get over on these guys. And, you know, but this won't be a spot they can do that.
Right. I mean, I think that also I'm like looking at our ownership stuff right now. I mean, I thought heading into the week that Amari and Tyreek would get kind of out of control with their prices on DK because they're so bad, but they're not really. I mean, we have like 15% ish on both of them. And like,
it plays into what I led with. Like we're just not seeing it this year. It's a lot flatter.
Yeah. I mean, at 15%, if that's really close to what he is, and he'll get a little bit higher. Tyreek will get a little bit higher than that in.
And if Lamb doesn't practice today,
can't have that. Cannot have that. But I mean, I feel like Tyreek is about as stone locky as a stone lock can get, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm on Tyreek too on both sites. We're recording this Friday morning, so we'll see what happens at Lamb. I mean, Gallup's supposed to play. So dude,
you have no, like, I've been holding Gallup on all these teams. Like I thought he'd be back in like a month. You know, we're 2 months into the season. I'm still waiting for Gallup to get better, but Gallup is 3,900 and is like just such an amazing play this week because he can go 4 for 80 and a touchdown so easy.
And if Lamb doesn't play, if Lamb doesn't practice today, you're going to see a lot of Gallup smoke.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Dalton Schultz still has an interesting match in that too. You know, the Broncos just traded for Kenny Young, but their linebacker's been so bad. So, I mean, Schultz could be, and no Jarwin. He's going to basically be out there 100% of snaps this week. So there's a lot of angles to play that game. And a lot of people probably just treat it like when the Cowboys played the Patriots a couple weeks ago. And people are like, you know, like the Patriots aren't going to really do their part. Like, and so you might get a little bit of that being overlooked. Because the Cowboys defense, for as good as it's been, like they've definitely had spurts where.
No, I mean, I think that if you're doing a Dak thing, I think it maybe even makes sense to do Dak and then just one of the wide receivers and then two Broncos guys, because if Dak gets to 25, that's 35 passing attempts from Teddy for sure. And then, you know, two of Sutton, Judy and Albert O. I mean, I've been waiting my whole life to play Albert O at this projection. So like, I am super. Yeah,
100% baby.
Yeah, I am super
pumped. What's he on DK? He's 2,600 on DK.
Yeah, right? He's 2,600. Yeah. I mean, he really is. Dude, I mean, I have Albert O on all these dynasty teams and everything. Like, I am super pumped. Like, I love Albert Okwuegbunam. He's the best.
I'm in on it, man. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm enjoying this. And maybe the back half of this fantasy season, we won't, if McCaffrey comes back and Dalvin starts rolling and we end up falling back into where we got to play these top, you know, 9K running backs. I don't think I've played a 9K running back in like a month. Like, it's awesome.
No, the last time I played a 9K running back was the week. I don't remember when it was, but there was a week where there was a cheap tight end and a 3K wide receiver. So you could play. I think it was week 3 where people played Henry in cash. And I think that was the last time.
But it's been enjoyable to not have to do that. Cause I think at least the past, 2 years, maybe 3 or longer, that's just been like, you can't do that. That was a death wish.
Yeah. I mean, you had to have those guys, you know, pretty much every single week. Now the one thing that could fall is McCaffrey could play. He's been designated for return. Yeah. He was at practice. If McCaffrey plays, that does shake up the slate. And then I mean, Kamara, I think is also like Kamara is in a ton of optimals here. Like the Falcons are terrible. They did give Mark Ingram like a fair amount of touches last week. But
Kamara was in that boat too, where just like his projection, he still got a lot of touches, but it was also the where he was pacing towards was almost like this Derrick Henry type thing, not to the level of Derrick Henry, but for a guy of Kamara's size, his career workload to this point too was just like,
I mean, he's already really... Kamara is like already like 75% of the way to his career. Yeah, he's got 133 rushes, his career high is 194. Like he's gonna eclipse that in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so they probably were looking at that too, of saying like, because he's never 275 is career high in touches, and he's gonna smoke that. Like he might get the
400 if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean because they still have 10 game. More games. They still have 10 more games, and he's at 161 because they had a bye already.
Yeah.
I mean, so they had to have been looking at it like we've got to at least alleviate some. We've got to take some touches away. Yeah. And it helps. I do like the Ingram reverse Kamara number, though. I was a big fan of that. I know he complained about it, but he wore the arm strips. Me and my son got a kick that he was like the reverse. He wore the visor and the arm strips and was 14. I was like, oh, this is dope.
And he dude, I mean, look, he looked good. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, Mark Ingram, like, looked pretty good. And I think he got, like, 12% of the targets, too. Like, they used him – like, they just used him like he was old Mark Ingram, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and he's such a fun dude. He's easy to root for because he's so fun. But
I have some bad main event teams where we were, like – I mean, we lost – I had one team that was really good that lost Henry, and Alex Collins was our other running back. So he's on bye this week. Like we are scraping the bottom of the barrel, and we got Ingram on that team. And I was like, holy shit. Like that might be a season saver if he can grind us, you know, 11 points a week or whatever.
Dude, it's just cheer for the Mark Ingram season save. We have a main event team where we're like mad. Cause last night,
I mean, we get the running back two wrong every single, like, I don't think we've gotten it right in the last month. Like Kenyon Drake versus Hines versus Ty Johnson versus, we have one other shitty guy.
Well, we had Boston Scott last week. We did get right finally, but yeah, finally? We've been chasing points. And then last night, both those guys get there. Naheem Hines hasn't had basically a point. He not even scored a point in October.
He hasn't had double digit points since week three. I know I was looking last night.
Then he has 20 PPR points last night. Has the longest run of his career.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do, man?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
All right. There we go. The worksheet, pre-snap reads, tell people where they can
pre-snap
find
motion.
It.
It's a sharp angles this year. We did pre-snap motion last year.
Oh, see, there we go. Bad host of me.
Yeah. You were on it too. You were on the show this year.
I mean, look, I'm on a lot of shows, Rich. I'm on a lot of shows.
Yeah, that drops today. I had Sigmund Bloom on this week. So it was nice, especially Sig was a great guest for this week in particular with all the things in motion, because he almost has that therapeutic lens through, the Packers, the Titans, all these changes that are going on in the league. You know, we thought we were going to have the trade deadline would give us news, and it wasn't. It was everything else. Everyone went to Halloween parties.
Everyone.
Yeah. Everyone went. Yeah, everyone's partying this weekend.
lots of mistakes made by NFL players this week. Not great. All right, man. We'll get you out of here. Everyone, check Rich's stuff out over at Sharp Football Analysis. Follow him, listen to the podcast, do all that good stuff, and we'll be back next week.